Steve and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, Entertaining Land Investment Talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from gorgeous, sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how and why it's important to establish daily, consistent content to grow your following group. We do it with
the podcast.
It's the
daily part that gets annoying, but you got to do it.
Both of us have a lot to say about this because, truth told, it's not our favorite thing.
It's hard.
But it has to get done.
It does. It pays off.
It does pay off. It crazy pays off.
And then when you get to a certain point, you can actually hand it off.
We are almost at that point.
That too.
Almost. It's been three years. It's been probably 5 years.
I stopped counting.
I mean, this is show 763.
For the podcast daily?
And then we started doing all this stuff way before that until we discovered that a podcast suits us good.
We've been doing this for about 3 years.
Summer, because it's summer of 18, and we started the summer of 15.
And then it was like rocky. It was like a little bit, because we were trying to take it. You know what we tried to do? We tried to immediately outsource it and found out that doesn't work. So we had to do the show in-house.
Yes.
That's a good thing to talk about, too.
Yeah.
You know, who you can outsource and when you can outsource and all that.
And if you're a chronic control freak like Jill and I, it's hard to outsource anything.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Until your head blows up.
Exactly. And everybody's crying.
And it's usually not me.
It's usually
or
me.
Or you. No. It's not you either.
It used to be me.
No. Maybe once or twice.
Okay.
I cried probably more than twice. You just don't know it. I go do it in the bathroom.
That's true. Everybody cried. You know you're doing it right if somebody's crying.
Jill said to me one time, you know, you choose money over people.
I did.
And I said, you know what, Jill? I do.
Yeah, exactly.
And then this was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And then recently she came to me and said, you know, this money over people thing, you were right about that.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it then. I just had to really take a step back and go, oh, wait a minute. And it's not that you're being shallow. You have to find the right people. And no matter how much you pay them, you know, when you fire someone that's not doing a good job, you are helping them out too.
You have to. So Jill and I, our style.
Because the bottom line is what's most important.
We do a lot of stuff differently, but one thing we totally agree on is the fact that we do really well with people who are complete and totally independent self-starters. Mm-hmm. Our best employers don't even work in the office anymore. They start there, and then they just have all this stuff to do every day, and they probably do it in their pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
We have one person who works for us, one of the original employees. She hasn't been in the office in probably 2 or 3 years. Probably 2 years.
She comes in for a visit once in a while.
Doesn't work in the same state. Mm-mm. And she's probably our best performer.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she is. I know she is.
Exactly.
Before we get into it, though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Jeff asks, I'm looking to do seller financing in the future, and I have a list of non-judicial states, but from what I've read, the land contract is the way to go versus a deed of trust.
Yes, for sure.
So, is there a list? I have done a lot of Google searches, and I can't find anything that would tell me if the state is non-judicial, I already have that list, and allows land contracts, and how quickly could you flip the land? If you have a link to a previous post in a site, that would be very helpful.
Can I stop you right here?
Sure.
Because I will answer this far.
Sure.
What he's talking about is judicial foreclosure states. There's administrative foreclosure, judicial foreclosure. It's beyond the scope of this to go into what this is all about. But what it means is, if you default on a loan, it's easier for most people to think about it from a house standpoint. You buy a house, go to Bank of America, and you get a loan. And for whatever reason, you default on the loan. They have to follow a very strict procedure to get the house back. And if you live in a judicial foreclosure state, there's a strict procedure in how they have to do it. Mm-hmm. And there's deeds of trust, and all kinds of stuff that goes on. What Jeff's looking for is the easiest way. You know, he's looking for a list of states where the list is short and he wants to completely comply with the rules. And I think that's fantastic. And
as a seller, because right. Jeff wants to do seller financing to his buyers so they can pay, you know, I don't know, $1,000 down, $200 a month, 4 or 5 years, whatever it is. And Jeff wants to, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just
No. Okay. That's good.
Jeff wants to be able to go, he wants to cut to the chase, which this is what we do too. It's like, is there a list there? Because I want to know all the ones that I can easily do this, not have to go through all those steps. So I only have a land contract. So if anybody stops paying me for whatever reason, I can just take the land back, period, not do anything, and just resell it and move on. Because that's the point.
So, and I understand your point of wanting a list, because I gravitate toward that kind of thing too. But, and the answer, the straight answer is no, we don't have a list. A lot of this stuff changes all the time. What I do instead is I have a checklist before we send mail out, in which areas and how and why. And first I start with sales. First I start with, oh, maybe Montana. Doesn't look like there's a lot of Montana acreage out there between 20 and 40 acres based on Land Watch and Land and Farm. And I start there. Okay, good. It looks like we can sell it because we know we can buy it. Mm-hmm. We always know we can buy it cheap. Mm-hmm. Now I know we can sell it. Then I say, well, okay, if we're going to do term sales, do what paperwork do I need to file? Do I need to do a public report like I do in Arizona? Is there a bulk sales law like there is in Arizona? And I start to make my way down through the legal portion of it, because none of this matters unless you know you're going to make a bunch of money.
Right.
So start with that. Like, I know you want a list of the 36 states and then go from there, but I would start with money. In fact, we have a show 2 days from now coming up with financial goals are always first, and then you work out all the other stuff after that. Mm-hmm. So that kind of falls into that. Anyway, continue with the question.
Okay.
I sound like a TV host. All the kids say, God, you sound so happy. You're not really that happy, but you sound happy on the podcast. Why can't you be like that? No. All of life.
Can you imagine? It'd be awesome if you walked.
I'll say that.
We should just walk around with a headset on. Maybe it's all psychosomatic. Like, hey, and here back now to
great report card, son. Yeah. Let's have some ice cream. Yeah. That's what they want.
Exactly.
That's what everybody wants.
Everybody wants that. To continue Jeff's question. Also, I hear a lot of podcasts and read a lot of material that land investors have the land contract set up that on a certain day, the person is late on the payment, and at X amount of days, they would send a letter saying that they have until X day before it is foreclosed. Then when this day hits, normally I hear people say that they then put it on the market again. My last question is, isn't it state by state on how long you have to wait before you put it on the market? Is there a list of state by state that you have to wait?
Again, with the list of states.
I did read a federal law says it must be 120 days. Maybe I'm confused. Thank you so much for your help on this topic.
This is like master's degree / PhD level stuff here.
I like that he's really thinking ahead on this too, and I understand. I do. This is how I gravitate too. I don't want to do all the research. Can we just cut to the chase? Because I know what I can do in this state. I know what I can do in that state. I know what I can do in this state. So I'm going to hang out because in each of those states, I got enough counties to work with. I'm going to be very happy for several years.
What I love about your approach here, Jeff, is that like me. Want to get your arms around the whole market, do tons of research, and then you're so informed, you know that when you send out the mailer and where it's going out, you just know what's going to happen. You're looking straight into a crystal ball. You can see what's going to happen from a money standpoint, a legal standpoint, and the whole thing. That said, stuff's still always going to go wrong, period. And you just have to mentally prepare that things happen like that. And so, are there federal real estate rules? Yes. Specifically regarding subdivisions and things like that. I don't think there's a federal foreclosure process. I think it's all state by state.
I believe it's state by state.
But start with where you know you're going to make some dough.
Right.
Here's why. You know, if you make $30,000-$40,000 on a deal, a lot of stuff can go wrong and you're still going to be okay. Mm-hmm. For $5,000, if you're going to make $5,000 or less or $4,000 or less, nobody really cares. There's not enough meat on the bones for lawyers to get involved and all that. So practice with some smaller properties. Let's say 5 acre. My favorite terms deals are buy a 5 acre property for $500 to $1,500. Sell it for $15,000 because it's worth probably $40,000 on terms for a real short, 5 year period, let's say. And then when you know that's all going to work, the financial piece of that, and it will, make sure that you have a foreclosure plan, because the truth of the matter is, between 70% and 90% of these deals, they never get paid off. In my experience, if a property gets paid off on a term situation, it's because they really want it bad, and they, within the next 6 to 8 months, they come calling and saying, "Hey, if I just want to pay this off on my credit card or something, can you give me a discount?" Which the answer is always yes.
Can I run one more thing by you here? This is one of the things you have to think about too, if when you're deciding the properties, do I want to be a terms guy? Do I want to be a cash guy? Because, those cash people never have to think about any of this stuff. No, they really don't. So that's one of the reasons why we do, the only times we even do terms properties anymore, it's something that we know, we kind of want to hang on to. We kind of think that we might want it someday. So I might sell it on terms because I know that the chances are I'm going to still have it someday. And I'm not concerned about the process or how long it's going to take to get it back, you know, and I can use it again. I don't really care. You know, this is a good thing to really think about. If you're hesitating, like, wow, geez, setting up these terms payments, look at all the stuff that I really do have to think about and all the work that goes into it and managing the payments and keeping up with the buyers and when their credit cards default, calling them back, you know, and saying, hey, we need a new card on file, something like that. You have to have a conversation with yourself and decide, do you really want to go down that path?
Yeah, I mean,
there's nothing wrong with either way. They're just different.
Or both. But in my experience, you're either a cash person or you're a terms person. And he hit on it perfectly. What it really comes down to is what your financial goals are. Jill and I, for whatever reason, are very, very good at, in fact, I would argue, I do not know anyone better. I don't care how large a real estate company is, whether they buy skyscrapers or not, are great at buying property.
Right.
So, like, I've spent at least 10,000 hours. There's a whole 10,000 hour thing.
Right.
So we've both combined spent way more than that. So we're just very set up to buy property really cheap, mark it up and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not terms people.
Get out.
We used to do it. I'll tell you what. So
we'll take less money to avoid this stuff. I'm good with that. That's our whole thing.
Because there's always another deal around the corner for us. There's always another deal. Tomorrow, literally tomorrow, we're going to open the mail and there's another deal there. So it's easier for us just to cash it out. The successful terms people that I know in the group, in our group, are people who say some version of this. If I just made $10,000 a month in collected payments, I would be home free. And so a lot of years ago, that was my goal, many, many, many years ago, and got to it pretty quickly doing terms deals.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not our goal anymore.
Right.
Our goal is way beyond that. Our goal now is, if I just made $500,000 per deal and did one or two deals a month, and cleared $1 million a month, that's our goal right now. So terms doesn't make sense for us.
No.
But so my whole point is this. Start with your financial goals.
And you know what? If your financial goals are to ramp up faster, you're going to be a cash guy.
And if you're a real entrepreneur, once you get to that $10,000, you're going to say, $20,000 a month might be good.
Yeah. Boy, I've heard that one.
Me too. Because it's usually coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, you just gave one. You actually just did that. You actually already threw yourself under the bus because you actually, and it's recorded here on show number 763, that you have a financial goal. And I know that a year from now, you're going to go, I said what?
Yeah. at a certain point, it just becomes numbers on a computer screen.
Yep.
Like whatever after where we are right now, it just doesn't.
It's just another zero.
It's just the thing. It's not going to change our lifestyle,
not
where
at
we
all.
Live, where anything, what we eat, none of that.
No.
Today's topic: establish daily consistent content. This is the meat of the show. What the heck does that mean, Jill?
What I find funny is it took us 15 minutes even just to get to the meat of the show.
Oh my gosh. What's wrong with us
That's
today?
Okay. We're just chatty, I guess.
We are chatty today.
Establishing daily consistent content. Doesn't that sound boring? It is. Does it sound hard?
Well, we're doing
Sometimes
it right now.
It
literally,
is.
Right now, we're establishing our daily consistent content. So it doesn't have to be
anything
boring.
Daily, whether it's going to the gym or doing a podcast or posting property and stuff, it's work. Daily stuff is work.
Daily stuff
is work. No, I mean, come on. I'm the first one to say I want to goof off all the time. Can I? Nope, can't. So you have to, and you know what? This is not about, this show is really not about even our business and what we do. This is anything you do. Daily consistency is key. You're going to fall off your diet. You know, you got to show up to the office to keep your job. You know, you have to parent the kids 7 days a week.
Show up for your marriage, that's for sure.
Yeah, your marriage. Yeah. I know. But that too, you have to keep plugging along. Even if you don't have any goals to improve or get better, you just want to maintain your status quo, it still takes work every single day. But if you do consistently, you will find that you will get better. Things will become easier, I think.
You know, it's funny because the people that I don't follow very many people on social media, but the ones that I do have nothing to do with, like, the content. Have nothing to do with the industry that they're in and everything to do with their how they present themselves and their attitude. Mm-hmm. If they present good content, I mean, I follow a couple politicians like Bill Gates. I follow a few people that are in completely unrelated industries that we are. And not industries I even want to have anything to do with. They're just, the stuff that they say is funny, mm-hmm. and it's interesting and it's brief. And, you know, that's what I'm talking about. That's how you forget about real estate. Nobody cares about that. Say some funny, cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And they will buy property from you eventually. Mm-hmm. That's my real whole point of this. You're right. The meat of the show is shorter than the intro.
Well, okay. So what do you mean? So we talked about as daily consistent content as your life and everything. So say as a land sailor. So what land sailor?
I forgot to slip.
I just made a new word up. I like that. I'm a land sailor. I'm a wholesaler. Well, it's like a wholesaler of land. You're a land sailor.
I thought it was S-A-I-L.
No. You don't sail on the land. No, a land sailor, like wholesaler. So instead of land wholesaler, because that gets a little wordy. So what would you say to a member or someone who's flipping land or flipping properties? You want them to use daily consistent content to gain people to follow them, and then, by the way, you just happen to showcase the land that you're flipping?
Yeah, I don't even know if you even showcase it, but they're driving some dry traffic to your website. It all starts with having a website. For instance, there's some really cool graphics and GIFs and all kinds of things in the news about land, mm-hmm. that are really spectacularly amazing to me. And quite honestly, I don't think I do this enough, but like the top 100 people, landowners in the country. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of stuff going on with like population movement and migration and which states are... which states people move into, which states people move out of, even statistics on like how many properties are, how many pieces of land are available to purchase right now that are on the MLS in Manhattan, New York. Mm-hmm. So there's just tons of stuff that if you only wanted to make a 5-minute commitment to doing a Facebook post, that's a 15-minute setup. And maybe a 5-minute commitment. We just go out on the internet and find some cool and fresh new stats. Maybe even subscribe to other people who are doing it and share it and forward it. There's no real commitment there. But man, I'll tell you, if it's good stuff, and you have to be really interested in it. If you're not personally interested in it, then it's kind of silly.
Boring.
Yeah, then it's not gonna. You're gonna come off that way. Like, I'm just doing it to do it.
Right.
Like the show.
I'm sharing information about the U.S. Census and how much people have submitted their responses.
Yeah,
that's stupid.
Cares about
nobody
that.
Wants to hear that.
But here's an example. This I did really well with this post a while ago. It's just on Facebook, too. There are 4 times as many people in L.A. County as there were in 1989.
I believe that.
And you were here in 1989.
I was here in 1989.
I was not. But I'll tell you, that. So just start to think about that from a house, what the implication is for housing, mm-hmm. and how much money is out there. And it's not going down. People are still moving here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, earlier there was a topic about which foreclosable areas are there. That, now I'm interested. Now I'm going to check out all the laws in LA County and find out why and how, if I was going to do term deals, which we don't do.
Right.
So it all starts with the cool stuff like that. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, this show does really well And it's easiest for us to do. We record all the shows usually on Thursday morning, really early, before our real day starts. And it's probably a two-hour time commitment, maybe three-hour time commitment for a week for us. And it seems to be paying off. Actually, mm-hmm. It's paying off really well.
Yes.
So whatever your niche is, there's lots of different types of stuff out there. Mm-hmm. There's one of our guys in our group. And he's amazing at making videos with graphics and the mm-hmm. whole thing. And that's his thing. And he sells every single piece of property because he's got a huge following on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Actually, more than one of our people in our group. Mm-hmm. What are your ideas?
I think we covered them. I love it. But videos are the best. That's the latest thing. We all know that. Videos, you know what I got to say? Videos are the best and short videos are the best. So as we're talking about property and what we do, I would really recommend, you know, it's important to have a good quality video, but don't drag it out.
Yeah.
Get the facts out there.
There are examples of good ones and bad ones on our YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. By yours truly.
That's very true.
The ones where you stop in the middle, those are the bad ones. Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 or 20 minutes listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time where we discuss task rituals make or break your real estate investment success. Did he say rituals? I mean rituals.
And answer your questions posted on landinvestors.com. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you are listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.